This FPL season has definitely been go, go, go. A nonstop hustle all the time. Matches, deadlines, unexpected blank and double game weeks, on top of everything the real world has had in store. Sometimes you need a moment to turn off and hit reset. That's when you reach for Coors Light. It's made to chill. For me personally, supporting Fulham during this last year has been a true roller coaster ride. Honestly, when that Adama Traore goal flew past Areola in the 92nd minute of game week 31, the only thing that saved my mental state, the only thing that calmed my nerves, was cracking open a Coors Light. There's only one beer out there that's literally made to chill, and that's Coors Light. The mountains on the bottles and cans even turn blue when your beer is cold. That way, you always know when it's time to chill. When you need to hit reset, just open a Coors Light. It's mountain cold refreshment made to chill. And listen, everyone, summer is pretty much here. It's about to get hot in New York. An ice-cold Coors Light is such a perfect way for me to beat that summertime heat. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light and the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. And as always, celebrate.
Hail cheaters, and welcome to the Always Cheating Fantasy Premier League podcast. My name is Josh, and I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how are you?
Well, I'm feeling a little better about the state of America right now, Josh, and let me tell you why. Because now we have Hull City, which is our partner in looking at its future and flushing it down the toilet. How do you sell your best player to a league rival for £10 million? It is like electing a demagogue to be your president.
Yes, you're talking about Patrick Van Aanholt being sold to Crystal Palace, the greatest rivalry in the Premier League, the Sunderland-Crystal Palace rivalry.
People don't talk about it enough, Josh.
They don't. No, you're talking about the you're talking about Robert Snodgrass, who has been rumored to move to Burnley, but there's the new twist as of this afternoon. It'll probably be, like, by the time this podcast goes up, it'll probably be resolved. But it sounds like West Ham have now increased their offer.
West Ham?
Yeah, they're now a bidder. So
they're going to get the Scottish Dimitri Payet.
That's pretty much exactly right. I mean, he's not as good as Payet, but you know, he's also not like inventing fake excuses to leave Hull, you know, or to leave West Ham. So
the Payet discussion is so interesting because I know you have seen you've seen PSG perform live at the Stade de France, Josh, but I know precious little about French football. Mm-hmm. I can't quite tell if Payet agitating for a move to Marseille, what that means for him. Because if the whole deal is that he's in the prime of his career and this is the best, like, 2 years that he'll ever be, wouldn't he want to, I don't know, maybe play at another Premier League side? Or
maybe a Crystal Palace.
I mean, perhaps he longs for the tones of home. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I mean, and Marseille aren't even that good in a league on this year. So
yeah, that's one of my points.
Surprise. Yeah, it's kind of strange. Yeah, if it were PSG, okay, sure, that would make sense, right? I mean, like, when Johan Kabay left Newcastle for PSG, it was like, yeah, sure. I mean, that's like a great move. You can't blame him.
And you would know better than anyone else. Dimitri Payet is better than Johan Kabay, is he not?
I wouldn't know better than anybody else. I think he is, Brandon. I'm pretty sure he is. If just to put a fantasy spin on this, if Snodgrass went to West Ham, Burnley, I'm not sure his fantasy value changes that much on Burnley. I mean, just given what their strategy is, which is to win, you know, every game at home 1-0 and you know, not lose away games so badly that their goal difference gets just like decimated.
Yep.
I mean, they're not even trying to win on the road, really. I mean, it seems like they're trying to eke out some nil nils and, you know, 1-0 losses and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's some real nihilist stuff happening there.
They're still like a fun team. They're not a bad team to watch.
Yeah, that's true. I don't want to paint them in a bad light. They're playing the appropriate strategy that fits where the club is in this moment. And for Dyche to keep this team up in the league for a season such an amazing feat, and I wish them, I wish them well. I do like
this is, and no offense to any Middlesbrugger fans out there, but Middlesbrugger, that is a bad team to watch. That is that there is no fun watching Middlesbrugger.
No, the burger. I enjoyed the burger better when it was a double patties, and I was eating it on Friday night.
That's right.
That's not a euphemism for
it. We were at the Breslin. We had a delicious burger. It was much better than Middlesbrugger.
Oh God, yeah. All right, should we quickly recap the events of Game Week 22 before we move on to the meat of this episode of Always Cheating?
Yeah, let's do it. We have a question right at the top of the podcast. It's from Scott Gill, a regular questioner. He says,
"Hey Scott."
Yeah, he says, "Is Josh cursed or unlucky?" Now, Brandon, just last week, I took advantage of the forum that this podcast provides to complain about my fantasy team for about 30 minutes, maybe 40 minutes. I felt like the whole podcast is just me complaining. It was me complaining and me making fun of Manchester City. That was really kind of the dual role that I played in last week's
episode. It was almost enough to get Always Cheating to go trending on Twitter.
Yeah. And yet somehow this game week was much, much worse. Burning four to take out Gylfi Sigurdsson. Swansea are about to go on a terrible run of fixtures, including an away match to Liverpool, whose defense has looked more solid of late. Mm-hmm. Except they just, lost two games in a row at home, including today's League Cup match. Yep. So not only does Gylfi Sigurdsson, I took out Sigurdsson and Benteke, and I brought in Lukaku and Junior Stanislav. Like Bournemouth's fixtures a lot, like Everton's fixtures long term quite a lot. And
I thought these were pretty decent transfers, Josh.
I even talked to you about them on Gmail chat, on Good Chat.
It was an instant message.
Yeah, and I said, I know things must be going bad if I'm asking you for advice. And and we both agreed that this is because my confidence is a little. It's funny, my confidence in FPL in general is high. There was someone who sent us a direct message on Twitter and said something like, "Oh, you guys should talk about your teams and share them every week." And I don't see the value in that personally. To me, this podcast is a way for us to talk about, trends and fixtures and strategy and, your own team can sometimes be a mess of decisions and hunch, I don't feel like the way that my team is set up is any reflection in the way that I think about the game in general, and I feel like to focus on our own team, our own individual teams too much would be a disservice to people who are listening to the podcast because, what do they care about our teams?
I'd sooner share my bank account information.
And also, if anybody ever asks me for a link to my team, it's readily available. I mean, if you're in any of the leagues, you can find our teams. It's not, but I just don't like to get too caught up in it because, I can talk about, the value of Andre Gray or something like that without wanting to bring him in my team for whatever reason, right? Because the way my team is structured or, because I've got another move that I'm thinking about 2 weeks from now or whatever. But it doesn't change the strategy of bringing those players in.
Right. The hallmark of the Always Cheating podcast is less how our two individual teams are doing, but more our desire to help serve the discussion that's happening in the FPL community.
Yeah, and to answer anyone's question, my team is doing very badly, really poorly. It totally backfired. And Sergio Aguero, who I brought in as this differential, the ultimate differential, right? Sergio Aguero with like the lowest ownership he's ever going to have.
It's almost a gift. In a way,
yeah, it seemed like a great opportunity, and he proceeded to blow that opportunity big time, and he broke my heart, Brandon.
He missed his shot in the immortal words.
No, he shot me in the heart with an arrow, like a with a poisoned bow or something.
So we're getting close
on Valentine's Day here, Brandon. I'm trying to tie it all together.
Have we actually read Scott's question though? Is Josh cursed or unlucky? Do we have an answer for Scott?
Well, let's just say unlucky, cursed. You know, it's okay. I'm just building up karma points for next year's team. I'm riding out the stretch the next 60 weeks or so.
Now, just to round out the discussion of this sort of unlucky run that you're going on, Josh, we have to say a special shout out to Jeff Petter and his lovely, lovely wife, Deborah. They came all the way over from Essex to visit us in New York. They didn't come specifically just to hang out with you and me, Josh, but they made a special point to meet up with us for the Spurs City game and had a great time catching up with Jeff and Debbie, talking a little FPL. And they were very fortunate. They are among the only FPL always cheating listeners, apart from me, to see a very muted, what was a very muted Josh meltdown in a bar.
Yeah, well, you know, there are certain game weeks where you know it's going to be an uphill climb the whole game week, right? You know your team is just whatever. Like a lot, you know, your top defenders have difficult away fixtures, and your midfielders are, you know. But I didn't feel that way this game week. I was actually really excited. I thought everything was set up perfectly, and you know, when Gylfi Sigurdsson scored that third goal in Liverpool, not only had I transferred him out, but he also knocked me out of the Patreon survivors pool.
Insult to injury.
So it felt like a real, like, double blow, you know, right before the 10 o'clock matches started. And I don't know. Do you talk about your team, Brandon? Enough about me.
I've actually had some decent luck over the last couple of game weeks. Obviously, I was on with all the people getting the 21 from Alonso in game week 21, but I ended up with 60 points for game week 22. And again, it's the defense show. And Cedric Suarez, the whipping boy of my starting 11, he actually came through with a big 12 points. And I slept through this Southampton. Who did Southampton play? The Southampton-Leicester game. And I woke up delighted that Cedric had actually pulled through for me. He's not injured. He started again in the cup game midweek. So I guess Cedric finally is off of the chopping block for the time being.
Yeah. And let's see. Fixture. Yeah. I mean, Swansea, West Ham, Sunderland.
It's really not bad.
Watford for the next five. Yeah, that's pretty good.
I mean, they have to be riding high on that cup win. I know it's a midweek fixture where a lot of these other Premier League sides haven't had one. But just curious to see where he goes from here. And then Gareth McCauley, who had his own goal last week, he ends up getting an assist and a clean sheet, another 12 pointers. So I was looking at McCauley. If anyone out there who owns McCauley, the own goal is almost totally wiped away in that. Right. I think he's got now 17 points over the last 3 weeks, so that averages out to a little under 6 points per week for the last 3 weeks. So you wouldn't hope for anything more from a starting defender in your squad.
No, you wouldn't. It was a good – a good game week for you.
I feel like there were so many weeks earlier in the season where we talked about how the defenders were just utter crap and we should just buy all 4.0 defenders. And that ship seems to be sort of turning around midway through the season. So we're going to talk a bit about this more later in the pod, about what to focus on looking toward the end of the season, and maybe it's defense. I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, my two clean sheets were two of the bright spots, in my team this week, game week two. So, all right. So because of all this, Brandon, I think a lot of people I know, just given what I'm seeing on Twitter, I mean, it's, you're kind of seeing, like, it's very polarized right now. I feel like things are breaking away. There are people who have, you know, McCauley, Brunt, Alonso, et cetera, who are having these, you know, phenomenal, you know, 100-point game weeks and, you know, 70-point game weeks this week. And then there's kind of the other people who don't have quite the right combination of players who are getting outscored by like
99%ers.
Who are getting outscored by like 40 or 50 points, you know, versus their competition right now. And so we're starting to get a lot of questions like, what am I even playing for? When is the time to take a risk? And so the topic of this week's episode will be second half strategy. So that includes, you know, planning for the wild cards, includes, you know, figuring out what to play for when you're 180 points back in your mini league. It's, you know, when to play, you know, your chips and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to get to that in just a moment.
First, we have a meltdown of the week, Josh.
Yep.
Uppercut Panda, he writes us and says, this goes back to what we're just talking about, defense. Uppercut says, I'm still not over Nathan Ake, sad face. And listen, you speak for everyone there, Shepo. I'm not over Ake yet because he's going to be riding my bench, presumably for the rest of the season. His value has turned out to be a real problem because he was so cheap to begin with, and now he's sunk like a stone, and it's getting harder and harder to get him out of your squad. Let's see, Ake is now down to 4.1. It's just really devastating. So I don't know how I'm going to get him out. And if I need to get Diego Costa into the front line, I'll have to cut funds elsewhere. So I hear you.
I think they're going to have to change the price structure a little bit, or the way that they calculate price rises and falls a little bit next year, because it seems like for someone like Ake, who is a small ownership differential risk, someone that you picked up because he was, starting and he was scoring goals and he was such good value, and you got him at 4.3, he shouldn't be allowed to fall to 4.1, he should have climbed higher when everybody else had him. He should have been at 5 or something, and it feels like you didn't get the proper reward for bringing a player like him in early.
Yeah.
Well, sort of ahead of the price rise.
I don't disagree with you, but you could easily make the counter argument of this is, for better or worse, it's an aspect of the game, and you have to play it this way, or else you get burned. And you honestly should have sold Ake, and you should have known this would happen to his value. So those who sold him, that was a smart move. So I don't know. I could see it both ways.
Okay, fair enough. So you're not one of the smart ones. I agree.
I guess I admitted to being a dummy.
Hail Cheaters Super League. Moving right along here, Brandon. Because I want to get to the meat of this episode, so let's run through the Hail Cheater Super League real quick. We've got a new number one.
New number one. All right, I'll run through real quick. Bart Worth Helgason, Reykjavik Runners at number one, scored 66 points on the game week. Well done, Bjart. At two, it's Eat the Kapoo, Patrick Connolly. Number three, The Wire. That's Keelan McArdle's squad. A team, Arshan Badawala, sticking firm at number four. Fifth place, FC Barcelona. That's Caroline Brady.
That's a new number one, yeah, I believe. New entry.
And a huge game week score from Caroline at 89 points game week
22. Well done. Caroline, thank you for jumping into the top 10. Thank you for being a new, I don't know. Are you a new listener? You should never ask us a question in the podcast, at least. Don't let the somber tone of this week's episode set you back too much. Normally, we're a little more upbeat, I would say, Brandon. I think it's true. I'm trying to get myself, I'm trying to get motivated myself about the rest of the season.
Maybe there's like a cabin fever. Well, we're not even there yet. I feel like cabin fever sets in late February, early March. So we need to really raise our game in the next month if we're not going to fall off of a cliff. All right, let's finish out the top 10. Tied at number 5 with Caroline, it's Jake Conyard. His team, Lauro, scored 63 points on the game week. Seventh place, it's Creamy Brian O'Shea. Eighth place, falling down the pecking order here, David Fellheim's the Cuddly Koalas. Tough game week here for David at 42 points. Ninth place, it's Juve Goza Friend. Fabulous team name by Keir Randall. Mm-hmm. 59 points. And in 10th place, it's the Validus FC, Matt Bennett, 64 points on the game week. So there it is. You can always join the Hail Cheaters Super League if you haven't already. Just go to our website, alwayscheating.com, click the league page, or the code is all across our social media.
Yep. And I just want to add on here, Brandon, the Patreon League, we are down to just 10 people in the Survivor Knockout Pool.
I think maybe there could be because this is probably a lot of people's first time playing a suicide pool, that a lot of people could get knocked out really early. And maybe we need to start up another suicide pool for the third of the season.
Yeah, if you're interested in that, let us know. Anybody who's already donated to the Patreon League would be an automatic entry in that, obviously. But if you didn't get a chance to join the first time around and you're interested, let us know, and maybe we'll start another one of those up. But all that said, we still have 10 people left, Brandon. I mean, this could be the toughest of the toughest.
It could be. They could string it along the rest of the season. Make me eat my words.
Yeah, 40% of the knockout league was knocked out with that Liverpool-Swansea game. So 10 left. You and I are both knocked out.
Yeah, I got knocked out in game week 21. I picked Bournemouth to beat Hull, and you know we know how that went.
Yeah, and the winner's invited to be on the pod, so we may have a Survivor League on here sometime soon. Survivor League winner, that
you
is.
You better be a wildly charismatic person, whoever you are, that wins the suicide.
With a very strong internet connection. And then in the Hail Cheater second half league, Cyril Anders, Emmett Sutton, and Andrew Popp are first, second, and third in the second half league. And Emmett Sutton, just to give him a quick shout-out, he's been very active on the Facebook page, so... thank you for that, Emmett. And you can actually still join that second half league if you want. You just have to go to patreon.com/alwayscheating. And we've actually added a few people just this week. Kat Mortensen has been really nice to us on Twitter, I have to say. Really generous with Kat. Yep. Kem Vardar, or is it Sem? Would you say Kem? C-E-M Vardar?
I'd go Kem, but I need more context here. I need to know what part of the world this man is from, or this woman, for that matter.
And Bjart Watna Helgeson, Gabriel Castellanos, and Daniel Sherwood have all joined in the last week or so. So thanks to all you guys.
Awesome. It's not enough for Bjart to be number one in the Hail Cheaters Super League. He also wants to be number one in our hearts. So
good. Yeah, thanks, Bart. Thanks, Bjart. Excuse me. I want to say Bart. You know, it's the Simpsons thing.
Sure. I mean, it's a potato thing, right?
Yeah, right, Bjart? You know, mind if someone just calls you a totally different name for your name?
All right, that's enough jibber-jabber, Josh. Let's take a quick break, and we're going to come back with topic number one, planning for the rest of your FPL season.
All right, let's do it. Same old podcast, always cheating. All right, Brandon, we're back. Topic number one, as I mentioned at the top of the podcast, is about planning for the rest of the season. Lots of different ways to take this category. Let's start with FPL Stato, who says, what did you want to achieve this season with your overall rank, and is this still attainable? Top 100K, top 10K? We've talked about this a little bit before. My goal is top 1K. Just because I've finished two seasons, you know, once was inside the top 2K, and then once was just outside. So, you know, you always want to kind of take one more step further,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, for sure.
That is completely out of the realm of possibility for me, by the way.
So are you readjusting the sights then? At top 100K, yeah, is certainly still feasible.
Yeah, exactly. I had a pretty rough start to last season, and I finished inside the top 100K. So, you know, it can be done again. So that's what I'm aiming for, top 100K. The top 100K still puts you in the top, you know, I don't know, 2% percentile or something like that.
Yeah, I mean, yes, as far as the millions of people playing the FPL game, it's pretty damn good if you're finishing in the top 100K. No one would look askance at you, except the most hard of the hardcore.
Like you.
Well, yeah, so we were talking to Jeff Petter in this lovely city of New York during the Spurs City game, and he asked me, now, Brandon, what's up with the Fulhams, being a Fulham supporter? And I had to explain to Jeff that it sort of appealed to my sensibilities. I've heard Fulham fans described as geology teachers, and... Fulham, even after being relegated to the Championship, it seems their ultimate goal is, as it was in the Premier League, to finish like aesthetically as most near to the middle of the table as possible. So my initial goal is always like have the best season ever. I would love to finish in the top 1K. My first goal though would be to finish in the top 10K, which I've never done. The highest rank I've had is 29,972 to be exact. And I've never not finished outside the top 100K, except for the first season that we played FPL, in which I was like, what is this game? How do you play it? So I really don't think that is going to happen to me this season. Let's see. Right now, I have a pretty grim overall ranking. It's 397,000.
That's not that bad.
It's not that bad. I feel like I'll handily slip into the top 100K. It's now down to just like waiting for these double game weeks to come through. Because I feel like we're fighting up for the, I mean, I guess for everybody, you're kind of still fighting upstream at this point of the season. There are still a lot of dead teams that are doing pretty well because Ibrahimovic has been very consistent, things like this. So you'll have a good week and you'll hit a huge green arrow. And then if you have a bad week against template teams, like even dead teams, you'll still fall. So there's still that battle you're fighting.
Yeah, and there, you know, I'm sort of turning my head to the head-to-heads a little bit more, you know, and trying to not worry quite so much about overall rank. And, I mean, you know, you and I have our 50 buck cup, which we've done three. This is our third year doing it, and that's just a little head-to-head that you and I do with each other for $50, which is, you know, like it's a nice amount. You know, it's like a good solid chunk of money. It's not gonna like. We're not like taking on a mortgage with it or something, but it's just enough to make things interesting.
I mean, let's be honest though, Josh, it's never about the money. I mean, we're both like diseased competitive people that I would set fire to that $50.
I mean, if the winner, if all the winner got to do was give the other person an open-handed slap in the face, I would be just as eager to win the head-to-head. Maybe more, actually. Maybe a little bit more.
Wow. So, okay. Well, I get to take my glasses off first?
No, that's the rule. So I think that, I'm focusing a little more on the head-to-heads. You always have to find something to play for. You know, there's always something. Join our second half league. You know, we're only 3 weeks in, and, you know, that's a way for anybody who doesn't know, that takes the score starting in game week 19. So, you know, that's not too far away. Or you know, start a head-to-head with a friend. You know, you can start head-to-head leagues anytime. So, you know, if you and a friend are both having a bad season, then – you know, and there's, 16 weeks to go this year? Start a 16-week league with each other. And
I'll do you one better, Josh. Invite a friend to FPL that's never played FPL before and just beat their ass for the rest of the season.
Right.
That'll make you feel really good.
Yeah, I don't know. Considering how I'm consistently performing against average this season, that would be
dangerous. Make you feel even worse.
Yeah, but like, you know, our head-to-head, I'm actually winning that. You know, what is it, 11-10 or whatever it is.
Not for long, buddy boy.
Yeah, maybe not, but you know, nonetheless. So you know, there's always something to play for, even if you have to find some new way of looking at the game, you know. So
yeah,
overall rank is always the way I try to play, but you know, you have to shift your priorities.
We'll get away from the like cosmic messaging here in a second, but I just want to say, like, I'm generally a skeptic and a pessimist in life, but with the FPL, I feel like you just have to appreciate the fact that this is meant to be fun. So if you're having a terrible season, again, like you're saying, Josh, sort of refocus. Additionally, like, it's so not too late if you're somewhere in the top million to approach the top 100K. So stay positive, stay focused.
Yeah, exactly. All you have to do is you know, you're certainly not alone if you're having a rough season. I mean, you know, some of the people who are not having great seasons are people that I consider some of the top, you know, thinkers, some of the smartest people who are playing the game, you know, who also have a Twitter feed that I follow, you know. So yeah, I think that it's, you know, it's no big deal. Yeah, I agree.
No big deal. On Twitter, Hagsfrud sends us a message. When do I start making gamble moves to catch up 70 points in my main mini league? Okay, so now we're getting a little bit more precise here. Where we've refocused our goals. Now, when do we start to gamble?
Right. Not any 70 points is nothing. I wouldn't start thinking about gamble moves for like 10 more weeks.
You have to just really sort of patch all the holes in your squad and make sure you have a tip top squad right now. I think the gambles come, in the, like the last 10 weeks of the season, if not a little bit later.
Yeah, and if you gamble, the way to gamble is at the margins. You know, you don't gamble. There are certain places that it's not wise to gamble right now. You know, you can't gamble and not have, you know, and drop Alexis Sanchez for somebody. You know, or you have to keep the most highly owned players even when you're gambling, or you're just going to fall so far behind that you won't be able to catch up if they do anything. And the reason they're most highly owned is because they're consistently performing, right? So
yeah.
And you don't need every single one of these, but you know, if you're going to gamble and drop Costa, Ibra, Alexis, whomever, you know, your Chelsea defender, whatever, it's really going to come back to haunt you because any given game week, you know, two or more of those four, to name the four that I just named, are going to do something, you know, and that's going to hurt you every time that they perform. So I would be gambling in that 5 million range, you know, if you're your third or fourth, you know, defender. I'd be gambling with maybe your second defender, maybe your third striker. You know, they're like the spots where you can find a lot of value. And, you know, you're not trying to make that 70 points up in one game week. You're trying to make it up 15 points here, 20 points yeah. there, you know, and, you know, within three or four game weeks, you know, it's that you've gotten rid of that deficit.
Yeah. And to that point, if you're moving in those increments, it can even be less about the differential players you're bringing into your squad, but the differential captaincy choices that you're making.
Right.
So choose like game week 23 coming up. There are a couple of good captaincy options, be it Sanchez or Ibra, but they're not like bang on. So you say go to Fantasy Football Scout and see the way wind is blowing with the captaincy poll there, and choose the second vote getter instead of the first vote getter for your captaincy option. And if you strike it the right way, then you're going to make up a lot of points.
I agree. I have nothing more to say or add.
You can add to that. That's just common sense.
The Super League's number one, Bjarne Helgason, Patreon supporter as well, says, how many points do you think it's reasonable to expect from the bench boost chip in a double game week?
I was thinking about this one, Josh, and I started thinking in sort of defender increments of 6-point chunks, and thinking of how unreasonable it is to expect that your bench defender would get two clean sheets in a double game week. So using this logic, I'm thinking that maybe best case scenario, all four players on your bench are averaging between 5 and 10 points in that game week. So I'd say you're doing pretty well if you're in the 20 to 25 point range for your bench.
Yeah, and even 5 to 10 seems a little high to me.
It is kind of ambitious. It's because there is especially with defenders, at least one player on that bench that's going to get like three sure. points max.
If you have a Mott or something, right? I mean, you could have a player who has, especially with double game weeks. You know, as we know, double game weeks tend to be a rotation. We saw this taken to an extreme last year, especially with Liverpool. So, you know, you never really know if those players are actually going to play anyway. I feel like Peter Blake on Twitter, I think, just wrote an article about this, and so maybe we'll link to that on the Facebook page so that people can check it out. I feel like this is a question that I can't really answer without looking at last year's, you know, I don't know. I feel like I need to look at numbers a little more, and it's hard for me to put a real number on this, partially because it's so dependent on, I mean, not to like totally punt on answering it, but it just depends on who's playing, you know, and what your team looks like.
And the tricky thing with bench boost, so last season was the first season we had this chip, as we all know, and everyone played that bench boost chip part and parcel with their winter wild card or their second half of the season wild card in order to maximize the bench boost chip. So that season last season could even be an outlier for the way where that double game week fell.
I hope it doesn't. If this season plays out the way last season did, where every double game week was, you know, in game week 34 or 37, that will drive me crazy. That was so boring.
Yeah.
I want double game weeks as soon as possible. Like, we need – this game needs, you know, I don't know.
We're close, and we're close now that the cup final is almost in our hands.
Exactly. We need the jumper cables on this thing. I mean, yeah, it looks like it's going to be Southampton and Man United, and assuming that Man United, you know, finishes it off tomorrow. So there will be some double game weeks coming up in the horizon, but, you know, that's all to be determined. And, you know, I know that there are very smart, you know, every year there are a couple of very smart people who map out the like 1600 different combinations mm-hmm. and like things to play for, but it just makes my head spin. And it's just, you know, once we find out when they are, then you can begin planning accordingly. But I think it's really tricky I think you can overdo it. You know, you're like, oh, well, now I know that, you know, whomever, you know, that Arsenal is going to have an open game week. I think they play Southampton and, you know, whatever that game week was, 28 or something. So, okay, so I don't want to double up on these guys, but you don't know when. I mean, sometimes they end up playing that makeup game just 2 days later. you know, and you don't miss a game week at all. So it depends on when it falls with the Champions League and all that stuff. So, you know, Jeff, so we'll see.
You've made the perfect segue to Jeff Ives' question. What do you think of favoring on teams that aren't in European competitions for the rest of the season, like Chelsea, Everton, et cetera? So this is something we've kind of forgotten about. We came through the festive period. Now we've been talking about the transfer window. And in a blink of an eye, Champions League is going to be back on, and that's impacting Arsenal. It's impacting Man City. And who else is it impacting?
Well, Spurs.
Spurs they're playing are in the Europa League. League, right? Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, Arsenal, Man City, and Leicester.
Oh, Leicester. I know. That was a very telling pause that we forgot Leicester, lowly Leicester City.
I know. I hope that if they win the Champions, they can get relegated in the same season. That would be so amazing.
It would be. I am all for that.
Don't wish it on them. But
I kind of
actually. It'd be worth it, right?
I don't want them to win the Champions League unless they get relegated, because the story just isn't as cool.
Yeah. And they can't. I know that they're falling down the table, but that team, especially when they get, I mean, they're totally screwed right now because the African Cup of Nations. But I think when they get, you know, when they get Slimani and Mahrez back, I they'll rattle off three wins in a row and in March or whatever, and they'll stay up. And the sad thing is though, they're going to lose everybody this summer. You know, I mean, every good player is going to leave that squad.
Yeah, next season is going to be the real trial.
So everything's going to go through Danny Simpson next year.
playing up top, Danny Simpson. They'll also be helped out by the fact that there are so many terrible teams immediately below them in the table.
Right, exactly. Like, do we honestly think that Leicester's going to finish below Swansea and, you know, Crystal Palace and Sunderland? I mean, it's impossible. Hull, for that matter. I mean, I just can't see it happening. I mean, as bad as they've looked the last couple of game weeks.
Yeah. To Jeff's question, though, I mean, there are two teams in particular that jump out at you, obviously, Chelsea and Liverpool. Liverpool, now that they're out of the cup and waiting for, let's see how far Senegal goes in the African Cup of Nations. But once Mane gets back to that Liverpool squad, assuming Coutinho and the rest of the gang are all healthy, I wouldn't expect a whole lot of rotation.
Yeah.
I think like all that Liverpool rotation we saw at the end of last season was due to the fact that Klopp thought very well that he could win the Europa League, which he nearly did.
Almost did. Yeah. I agree. I mean, in general, if you know, especially with Chelsea playing, so, you know, probably going to win the league this year, or at least, you know, finish in the top two or three. And you know, they're playing really well, and there's no rotation risk. I mean, it's a no brainer. I mean, it's amazing because, you know, Alonso, the one player everyone was worried about, now seems completely locked on. Right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, 2 goals and 2 clean sheets in the last 2 weeks. I mean, he's not going anywhere.
No, he's not going anywhere. And Man City, I think, is the one problem team. Like, assuming Man City starts doing better in the league and you'd actually want to bring some of their players in, and who knows if that will even be the case, they seem to be the one team that's most prone to rotation, whereas Arsenal, still in the Champions League. Wenger doesn't rotate all that much, except in these midfield positions where you're not really investing in your FPL side.
Yeah,
defense isn't prone to rotation too much. Alexis is going to play every game if he's healthy.
Yeah, Monreal has rotated with Kieran Gibbs a little bit, but Alexis is just going to play like 60 games this year. I mean, I think Wenger knows that he's probably going to leave this summer, so he's just going to milk him, you know, for every every fiber in his body is going to go into the, you know, he wants to play, right? So why not?
Yeah.
Jeremiah Johnson says, playing 4 in the back. I hear there are more clean sheets in the second half of the season than the first. So is 4-4-2 an option with guys like Brunt, Alonso, Coleman, et cetera, playing basically as midfielders? Just want to tag on here because Emmett Sutton had responded and said, West Brom defender is only worth having when at home. Brent has a crazy 52 points in the last 6 home games.
Oh my god!
But only 8 points in his last 6 away. So it's pretty stark, isn't it? That's a pretty that's a Burnley-esque contrast between home and away.
Let's see. I'm trying to do the math here on 52 points from 6 games.
Yeah, it's like 7.5.
That's intense.
Yeah,
it is really intense. I'm all for the 4-4-2. Why not? I've got nothing bad to say about the 4-4-2.
Yeah, I agree. Or no, it's 8.5, by the way. Because, right, 8 times 6 is 48, and yeah, that's wild.
You're much better doing it math out of hand than I am. I think it's from your days playing poker or something like that. But what do you think about the 4-4-2?
We talked about this on the last week's podcast, actually. But, you know, he may have missed it because it was an hour 6 or something. but I was advocating for a 4-3-3. I think that, you know, given Lukaku and Andy Carroll and some of the other third striker options, that you could play three pretty solid, consistently scoring forwards.
Yeah.
And then you could play, you know, one, you know, probably Alexis and one Spurs midfielder, and maybe even two Spurs midfielders, you know, Allen and Eriksen. And then you could do four at the back. And a couple people actually showed us their teams with 4-3-3, and it's definitely doable. So, would you rather 4-4-2 or 4-3-3?
Well, I mean, the other option I would think about would be 3-5-2. And I tend to think about attacking players being safer options because defenders can just wipe out, you know, as you saw with Monreal this weekend, just at the last possible minute on a fluke, all their points get totally wiped off the board. So if you're not going to go three strikers, why not do five midfielders and two strikers and you have more attacking potential? But we now live in the era of the modern wingback. And these defenders, like Alonso, like Brunt, like Danny Rose and Kyle Walker, they just are hoovering up points all over the pitch. And you're almost more likely to get attacking points from these types of defenders than you are from the Etienne Capoues of the world.
And, you know, and I've been playing a 5-5-1 this year, which may explain why I've had some struggles.
You know, it's really avant-garde approach, but somebody had to try it.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, five defenders. You know, Amat not playing very much has definitely hurt the rotation a little. Or, you know, hurt
sure,
the.
Sure. Yeah, you've been auto subbing in Danny Ings or something like that.
Yeah, no, it's been Ebro who's been coming in, so it's worked out well.
Some might say foresight. Others might say idiocy.
Alex Ball says midfield must haves and must not haves for the rest of the season. Thank you kindly. Now, I think this is it's worthy of its own section, on a later podcast. But if you had to name a couple, Brandon, who would you name?
Alexis Sanchez is a must-have.
Right.
A Spurs midfielder.
Yes.
Yeah, everyone's talking about Ali or Eriksen. That those are your choices there. And beyond that, those seem to be like the most clear-cut options. You look at the other, I mean, Chelsea even, Hazard sinking like a stone in everyone's estimation, so almost true to form the last couple of seasons.
Right.
I guess you can start recommending Pedro or Victor Moses there, but I think if you're going to go attack with Chelsea, Diego Costa is probably all that you need. I wouldn't consider Chelsea midfield must have.
Not at Hazard's price.
Yeah.
Yeah, not must have, certainly. I think that, you know, ultimately I think a Liverpool midfielder will make their way onto this list.
Yeah,
but
that's true. I totally forgot about Liverpool. Yeah. I mean, we've gone from the Coutinho Firmino season to them sort of being left behind, but there's no way it stays like that.
No, especially when Mane gets back. I mean, Firmino did have the brace, but he's been pretty disappointing, you know, otherwise. I mean, he's been involved in the attack a lot, but he didn't really have his, you know, shooting boots on until this game wakes up.
So this question harkens back to what we were saying earlier about making up the ground in your mini league on the margins. So your must-haves are Sanchez, a Spurs midfielder, a Liverpool midfielder, and the rest is up to you. And the rest is probably how you're going to end up winning your mini league.
Right. And, you know, I think that I feel like one of the strategies would be to invest in a more expensive forward line. I think that a lot of managers are going with a 3-5-2 right now, and it's a chance to have, you know, one. I mean, you could have Ibra, Lukaku and Kane across your front line, or you could have, you know, Ibra, Costa. I don't know if you can have Ibra, Costa, Kane, but certainly, you know, Lukaku to me is just, he's just cheap enough that you can have him along with two other top strikers. And that might be, you know, a way to go there because, you know, it's always kind of tricky to expect, Andre Gray or whomever to consistently deliver. That might be a way to do it. But, I think
I guess give two names real quick that I think of second tier midfielders would be Matty Phillips and Mikel Antonio would be the two that I would immediately look to.
Yeah.
Filling in those holes in your midfield, particularly Matt Phillips, who appears to be such a consistent attacking force in that West Brom attack. And their run of fixtures coming up is really sensational with the Burger, Stoke, West Ham, Bournemouth, Crystal Palace all coming up through game week 27.
Yeah. Good point.
All right. Last question in this section, Josh. It comes from Brad Below. He says, wildcard strategy, go now or wait till double game weeks. When do we find out about the double game weeks and who plays when? Thanks.
Okay.
How do you respond to Brad here? When do we find out about these esteemed double game weeks?
I think when you play the wild card depends on where you are in your league. I think that if you – I would at least wait until the first round of double game weeks are announced before I started thinking about playing my second half wild card. It's still relatively new. You know, it's only the second year where you can play the wild card at any time in the second half of the season. It used to be you had to play it by the end of January. And we would all tell ourselves we were going to wait until the end, and we'd all play it the first week of January.
Yep.
which I kind of miss it a little bit. You know, it was a great way to reset your team. But I think that if you are ahead in your league, I would wait as long as possible to play my wild card. If you are behind, I would wait until they've announced the double game weeks. And I would probably play it shortly thereafter because I felt like I waited too long last season to play my wild card. I was trying to make up some ground, and I kind of fell in with the prevailing logic, which was something like wild card in game week 33, triple captain in game week 34, bench boost in game week. You know, it was like we all played the same way. And for me to just follow that logic meant that I wasn't gaining any ground really because, you know, I ended up bringing all the same players everybody else had. And, you know, I performed well, but, right. But what I needed to happen was for me to have some players that weren't highly owned perform well and the players that were highly owned not perform well. So,
right.
In a case like last year, there was no way I could have won. There was no strategy that would have done it for me. But it's a new year. I mean, who knows, right? I mean, this maybe this year Victor Moses goes on Matt Phillips for that matter, right? He's had a couple double digit game weeks. You know, someone like him goes for 25 points in a double game week or something like that. You know, you don't need, as we said, earlier on, you don't need to make up 100 points. You just need to make up 25 here, 15 there, and so on.
Well, your double game week a few seasons ago where you had Christian Benteke and Charlie Austin, I can't remember which one you captained, but they...
Right. But no one had taken... It was a weird double game week because the only two teams that were playing twice were... Aston Villa and
two of the worst teams QPR. In the whole league, and you just doubled down on those teams.
Yeah, because I was well over 100 points in down in our mini league that year, and I ended up winning it the last week of the season. So definitely can be done.
Yeah, I agree that you definitely need sooner the better, but you'd be a fool to play it before the double game weeks are announced because you at least have to have an eye toward them. Right. Even if you're not playing them immediately before.
Right, exactly. And but don't wait too long. I think, if you're down, if you're up, then you should wait as long as possible because then you get to see, what everybody else does. It's the advantage of being ahead.
All righty, Josh, let's take a quick break and we'll come back and we're going to talk about the January transfer window.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
And we're back and it's time for transfer talk. The window isn't quite closed yet, Josh, but we're close. So here we are talking about players who are moving around, a few new players that are coming into the FPL game. Kicking things off, we're going to talk about the Snodgrass. What would you call it? Soap opera, I guess.
Yeah.
Amar Koyam asks us, when do we turn to Dea Mercy? Last season, he actually was the best triple captain choice for game week 37, despite your jokes. How does the Snodgrass move change how we approach Big Mo?
It's his team now, isn't it?
Yeah.
He's been knocking on the door. I mean, he scored, about 10, 15 goals already this year, something like that?
Yeah. Only half of them scorpion.
Has he scored a single goal? Does he even have an assist?
He definitely has an assist.
Okay. Because I feel like our love of Mbakani was a little more justified last year. Like he was sneaky okay last year, you know.
Well, the thing last year too was that he unjustly didn't get any playing time because he was playing behind Cameron Jerome, who was
terrible.
All right, Diamercy Mbakani on the season has 2 assists and no goals scored.
Right. Last year he had 7 goals and 1 assist. He's actually currently away at the African Cup of Nations too. So, I think long term, I think we'll all own Mbakani. I think that he's going to be the most owned player in the league and probably the highest scoring. I mean, I know that he's getting a little bit of a late start. He's only on 23 points in the season, but I guess if you were a betting man, Brandon, do you think that Alexis Sanchez or Mbakani will have more points by the end of the season?
I mean, my prediction is that the ownership will go so high with Diamercy Mbakani that he'll actually in turn own all of us. He'll end up owning the four odd million players around the world who have him in their squad.
Wow, that's amazing. It's like a ghost in the machine sort of.
yeah, it is.
Intense. Wow.
All right, so let's be serious, though. Fat Gorilla says, Snodders just signed for Burnley, or so we think. Is he more or less attractive as an option? Is Tom Davies going to play from now on?
I don't know enough about Tom Davies to say one way or the other. I think that if Snodgrass signs for Burnley, he's actually probably less attractive. I mean, he wouldn't have free reign the way he did at Hull, where he was basically the only player in that team. If he goes to West Ham, I find him to be more attractive. I could see him. He might still not be in pens though, right? I mean, Mark Noble is pretty locked into that penalty job there. So
he is. Yeah, he's been around forever. So
he'd be in free kicks. I mean, you could see him connecting well with Andy Carroll. I mean, Snodgrass is a good player, but he's not
Antonio.
I mean, it's not like Snodgrass is like a brand new commodity. I mean, he played for Norwich for years and, I know he was injured last season.
Yeah, you do wonder if it was just something about that fit for him at Hull and him being the big fish in the small pond, which gave to that FPL output. I think we need to know a little bit more.
That said, West Ham, if he goes to West Ham, they are a better team than Hull, obviously. His price is still very reasonable, right? He's like 5.4, 5.5 million. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, why not? I mean, I certainly wouldn't drop him if he went to one of those squads. And he could be a sneaky, great double game week player if West Ham gets a double game week.
Yeah. This question of Tom Davies is kind of interesting to me, though. Having watched him in that Man City game and he retained his starting position the following week, he looks great in that squad, but there are so many moving pieces right now in the midfield with, maybe Barry's on the way out, Schneiderlin's coming in, they have a few midfielders away at the African Cup of Nations. So I wonder if it's his spot to lose or if there is maybe rotation to come.
I'm just not realizing he's asking about Tom Davies on Everton. I was thinking of Curtis Davies, and I was very confused. So I don't know about Tom Davies either. I mean, he's really young, and I feel like we saw this with James Ward-Prowse a couple of years ago when Coman was at Southampton, and Prowse was he was about the same age as Davies, and he was not a consistent starter. So
yeah, that's very true. That's an interesting comparison.
Yeah, it's. I can't believe I pulled that out actually, but I think it's an accurate one.
We have some pretty knowledgeable Everton fans that listen to the podcast, and I'm sure they could point out the differences in Ward-Prowse's game and Tom Davies' game. But I think given that it's Coman again and young club talent, I think that's spot on.
Siraj asks,
"Hey, Siraj.
What are your thoughts on Andre Gray as a third striker?"
I'll jump in here, Josh. I'm into it.
He's into it.
I'm totally into it. I mean, they do face Chelsea in game week 25, but they have pretty good fixtures apart from that with Leicester, Watford, Hull, Swansea. And you saw a little life in that squad against the Arsenal team. They were playing away, which they generally are okay, organized,
I have a bone, I have a bone to pick here, Brandon, with the fixture difficulty rating system on the FPL website. In game week 26, the Hull away fixture is a 2, and in game week 27, the Swansea away fixture is a 1. Now, I'm not sure I think that Hull is necessarily a more difficult place for Burnley to go than Swansea.
No, yeah.
Those are ones. Do they not want 2-1s back to back or something? I don't know. That's strange.
Yeah, they definitely need a more like real time fixture difficulty rating.
Yeah, I like him too. I love his price. Are you thinking about bringing him in?
No. Well, actually, I am not this coming week because I have plans, which we'll talk about at the end of the podcast. We talk about our transfers, but I want to keep Giroud for this Watford home match. But I also want to bring in Kane. So I'm looking to field Ibra, Kane, and Giroud in game week 23. But that's not – I don't think that that's going to be work for me long term because I need more money for my midfield. So I think Giroud will ultimately drop out for a guy like Andre Gray. And right now Andre Gray is definitely in the top three in terms of third striker contention for me.
Okay. Yep. No, that makes sense. Crystal Palace, Byron James, his name I forgot on last week's podcast. Felt very bad about
that. He's the official barrister of the OSG podcast.
Byron says, PVA at Crystal P, surely a must have. Now, this is the same Crystal Palace that can't keep a clean sheet, right?
Like, yeah, that's the one.
Yeah.
You got it. You nailed it.
I mean, you know, I guess I'd be a little worried if I were what's his name? If I were Kelly right now. I mean, Martin Kelly probably played his last game of the season. I love PBA. I mean, I like all the moves that Palace are making right now. They all seem to be like they're going to make them a stronger squad. I mean, they're so pragmatic. I mean, these are the kind of moves that you need to be making when you're trying to stay up, right? You don't try to find like a diamond in the rough in Europe. You try to find Premier League players who know how to play. I mean, some of these teams should be going to the championship right now, looking for, you know, like players who got, you know, who've been on relegated squads or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that,
we've only seen him play for Sunderland though, which Sunderland never has any good players. So does he shine on Sunderland because they rarely have good attacking threats apart from Defoe? I'm curious to see how he shapes up at a different team.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly like him as an option, but I think it's a wait and see.
All right, Ken Rooney, what FPL price would make the all-conquering Irishman Robbie Brady worthwhile after he moves to Palace? Hashtag headball specialist.
How about like 5 point? You know, sometimes when they add players in January, they give them a like kind of weird price point. Like it's not always an even, you know, 0.5. So how about like 5.3 million? Doesn't that seem like the right amount?
I mentioned this to Ken on Twitter, but I'm looking for 4.1 because I have a 4.1 vacancy in my midfield right now. And there is no one to fill it.
I think somewhere sub 5.5 is where I would think about bringing in I mean, Brady is okay. Like, Brady in the league many times before. Yeah,
and Ken mentions that Robbie Brady is a dead ball specialist, but looking at Palace, I don't know where that puts Kabai, because Kabai is the continental, you know, dead ball deliverer on that team.
I've watched the last three Crystal Palace matches. Nobody wins. Nobody gets a foul outside the box. I mean, I've not seen anybody. Benteke like is never over there. That Crystal Palace team is no fun to watch. Everton. Let's move on to a team that's more fun to watch, Brandon. Everton. Okay. Dave. Wijnaldum Dahl, Patreon supporter, says Baines Pens versus Coleman doing Coleman stuff.
This is a total toss up. We've seen this question a couple times, and it's sort of the unanswerable question, right? Because one weekend, as we've seen, one weekend Baines will get the goal, one weekend Coleman will get the goal.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to go because they're exactly the same price. I would be more inclined to go with Baines, if only because of the penalty thing, right? I mean, because he can still get assists as well, you know. But every now and then he's going to pick up an extra 6 points.
And I know Lukaku has sort of taken this over, but Baines used to be the only one on that team that was taking free kicks, like 20 yards outside of the goal mouth.
Yeah, that's true too. So, yeah, but I think you can't really go wrong with either player. So it's a little hair splitting, but I think Baines kind of just ahead.
Okay, so perhaps I think we agree that you go with Baines, but maybe the other question is, do you have a mini league competitor? And if they have Coleman, then you go Baines and vice versa.
I don't know. I think it's early enough that you just go with the player you think is going to do the best. I mean, a few weeks from now, maybe.
Okay. Anders says, is it time to show Barkley some love?
No.
Yeah. Moving on. Juicy Carreira says, midfielder around 7.0, Pedro, Antonio, or perhaps Barkley because of good Everton fixtures. Yeah. Anything to say about Barkley?
We're getting late on time here, so let's just say Antonio is the midfielder I'd pick in this price range. And
yeah.
I don't care for Barkley, and I don't care for the way that he doesn't try for 20 weeks at a time.
Yeah. All right.
He does try, but he doesn't try in the right way or something. I mean, he's a frustrating player.
All right, Josh, let's do a lightning round before we get to the Game Week 23 preview. Are you ready?
I'm ready. Let's do this. Like, no more than like 20 seconds in each question.
All right. Sigurd Excellent says Llorente or Carroll? Or generally third striker.
Yeah, Carroll or Andre Gray.
I mean, Llorente looked really dominant against Liverpool, so I wouldn't rule him out.
They got tough fixtures coming up, though.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, I'm with you. I kind of lean Gray just because of the price point, and Carroll has a groin strain. I'm past 20 seconds. James Drury asks, would love to hear your opinions on Brock Toon or Brock Toon, and if you have him, whether to keep him. Also, he sent us a great YouTube clip to this rap group that has a song called F.U. Brock Toon. It's wonderful.
Yeah. Cool. He's asking about Sergio Brock Toon Aguero. Get rid of that. Everyone on that squad, just get out. They scored two goals in that game, and they were both crazy fluke goals. I mean, that team is a complete mess right now.
Also, the tension with him and Jesus, or however we're pronouncing his name.
Yeah, and Gabriel Jesus looked good.
He looked like Sergio Aguero when he first joined the league.
Keep an eye on him, but too early to tell.
Yeah, all right, our friend FPL Cat, I've got Crouch as a third striker with Costa and Giroud. Do I play him or bench him? When he's good, he's pretty damn good.
Yeah, I had emailed Kat a follow-up to see what her fifth midfielder is, because without that question, it's too hard to say. But I guess if her fourth defender is also really good. But
isn't Berahino gone to Stoke, though? Does this endanger Crouchy's starting berth?
No. I mean, Berahino hasn't played in like 3 years.
Yes, fair point.
But Crouch, you know, Crouch is he's a fixture dependent player. You know, when they're playing Hull or Sunderland or whatever, start him. If not, you're probably looking at 2 points.
And the final question, Josh, from FPL Kangaroo, would having Ali, Kane, and Eriksen be too much ahead of Spurs' next few fixtures, which are Sunderland, Berger, Liverpool?
This is an easy question, Brandon. No, definitely not.
Completely agree. Go all in on your Spurs player. I wouldn't players, plural. I wouldn't mind having a defender.
I wouldn't mind having a defender either, but yeah, you can't go wrong.
Differentiate, but yeah, I agree.
Any goal they score, one of those three guys is probably going to be scoring or assisting.
All right, Joshua, it's been real, but we have to take a quick break, and we're going to come back with our preview of Game Week 23.
All right.
Same old podcast, always cheating.
All right, Brandon, we're back. Game Week 23. No matches this weekend. This is why we're recording a little bit late. I also needed my little 72-hour mental health break. Games are coming on a Tuesday and Wednesday of next week, the 31st of January and 1st of February. And I think I'm actually gonna be able to watch the Tuesday matches, which is a nice treat for me as an American. So
you say that like we earned that right through overseas through the foreign wars or something.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no one's gonna have a job like a year into the Trump presidency. So, you know, I'll be able to watch a lot of matches in a couple of years. Uh-huh. All right. So, clean sheet picks.
We're bringing the Premier League back to America, though. Sick of sending those jobs overseas, man.
So not going through each fixture, Brandon, but just if we want to pick out clean sheet picks for this game week.
I went Man United last week on an away match to Stoke, and that bit me. So I'm hesitant to pick another away team, but my heart says Spurs-Sunderland, and Spurs are going to keep a clean sheet there. But then if I'm going against my away fixture rule that I just created right now on this podcast, maybe I go Man United again against Hull.
Sure.
But my heart does say if you're starting a Spurs defender, it's going to be a good game week for you.
Yeah, Man U Hull does seem like the clear pick there. Captains, I don't know. I think you got to go Alexis Sanchez.
You do, yeah. Home to Watford. Watford bringing in some new transfers. Maybe they're going to be trying a few different things that might expose them.
Right.
Their defense is kind of terrible as well. Let's not forget that.
I guess I was pretty flip about that. I mean, you have Ibra at home to Hull, and you have Spurs defenders away to Sunderland. I mean, there are a lot of captain choices this game. Is this a game week to be a little different?
It could be. An Ibra captaincy is probably going to be a differential. I think the herd will probably lean toward Alexis. But the thing with Ibra is he just seems to be the master of scoring a goal and getting one bonus point.
My concern about that Man U match would be that Hull doesn't even try to win, you know, and that they basically just try to get out of there with nil-nil or one, you know, like they're already probably thinking about goal differential for the season. So maybe they're, you know, maybe the goal is just to pack it and just ship as few goals as possible.
Somebody was making this point on the FPL Reddit site today as well. Somebody inquired about doing a triple captain for Ibra against Hull. And as legend has it, like away keepers just always play out of their skin when they go to Old Trafford. Mm-hmm. Just think about Tom Heaton when Burnley went to Old Trafford earlier this season, and Zlatan couldn't get a shot past him as hard as he tried. So yeah, it is a concern, but it's Hull is terrible and they're going down the tubes.
Yeah,
so Ibra could be that differential captain.
God, it's really a tricky one, isn't it? Yeah, I mean Arsenal to Watford or Man U at Hull. I guess they're both going to probably score. So, you know, you can't really go wrong. I feel like every time I say that, you can go wrong. Yeah. And
like a zany Kyle Walker captaincy pick would easily blow up in your face.
Maybe wait and see what happens in the FA Cup matches this weekend. It could be that, one of the strikers gets rested, you know, or Alexis or Ibra does, and maybe that influences your opinion a little bit. You know, I mean, one of them will be playing 180 minutes in 3 days versus, you know, having a rest. So maybe it's a little too early to tell between those two. Kane away to Sunderland too is not a bad pick.
Oh Jesus. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So many options. All right. Transfers this week. Josh, you've got a little work to do. What's your plan?
Yeah. I already did my rage transfers. I kind of had to do it for pricing reasons, and I'm actually glad it forced my hand. Aguero is out, and I brought in Harry Kane, and Hazard is out, and I brought in Alexis Sanchez. So,
yeah, I kind of assumed you were going to make those moves, and those are easy, no brainer.
The logical moves, yeah. So I like my team now. I mean, now that I've been through the worst, you know, I mean, it's a good looking team. My front line, you know, with Ibra, Lukaku, and Kane is really strong. But I guess we'll see.
Yeah, after the last game week, I immediately dropped Hazard and brought in Dele Alli. And I had a plan in place to do three I had two frees going into game week 23. So I was thinking of burning four. So the plan was in place to do Hazard to Ali, then Origi into Harry Kane. And that would leave me just enough cash to turn Etienne Capoue into my new favorite midfielder, Tom Carroll. On Swansea. And I said, you know what? I'm not going to burn four on three transfers this early in the game week transfer window. So I sat on it. Harry Kane's value went up by 0.1, and now I'm 0.1 shy of making that move.
Yep.
So I think it's still on. I just now I have to get rid of Joe Allen, which is definitely not a worst case scenario.
Yeah. I mean, and you really could keep Allen, right, for another week. I mean,
yeah, you know,
I would, home to Everton.
I would like to keep Joe Allen. I would like to keep him, but for me to get Kane in, I have to get rid of Joe Allen.
Gotcha. Yeah.
So it looks like that's going to be the case. And Kapu is like a cockroach on my FPL team. I cannot get rid of him.
Yeah. Maybe he'll score away to Arsenal. I mean, God, Arsenal will find a way to concede a goal in every game. So, all right, Brandon, that's it. I hope you're still listening. If you are, please, if you haven't done so already, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes and find us on SoundCloud. You know, we talked a little bit more than usual about SoundCloud on last week's episode of the podcast, and it feels like we've got a nice pickup in followers on there. And, you know, that's just nice because then we feel like if we're, we know who's listening, you know,
and we see you.
Yeah. It's nice to know who the people are out there, you know, listening to the pod and subscribing. So, for our selfish data mining purposes, please do this. We're not really making any money off you. So, you know, do it for us, do it for Brandon, not even me.
I'm begging you, yeah. Please follow us on SoundCloud. I'm begging you. Oh, you can also find us on Stitcher Radio, Josh. We're also on Google Play, mm-hmm. Acast,
TuneIn.
Have you ever heard of TuneIn? Have you ever been on TuneIn.fm?
I in fact have been on TuneIn, and I'm very frustrated right now with the Apple podcast app on my phone. It's not downloading episodes as regularly as I would like. I feel like I have to go in there and manually make it do it. Uh-huh. So I am considering alternatives right now.
Holy crap! This just turned into like a 15-second ad for TuneIn. I'm waiting for the check to come in.
Yeah.
All right, so subscribe to the podcast in all those places, anywhere you get your podcast, and don't forget you can participate in the Always Cheating community. Follow us on Twitter. At Hail Cheaters, facebook.com/alwayscheating. Send us an email if you have any lengthy questions, you want us to rate your team or whatnot, hailcheaters@gmail.com. And as we mentioned at the top of the show, rewards await you if you support the podcast through Patreon. Just go to patreon.com/alwayscheating, and there are many ways to support us there. Did I do all right there, Josh? Did we cover everything?
You did. I just want to say, Mbakani forever.
Have mercy, Josh.
Yeah, and hail cheaters, all of you.
Hail cheaters. Good luck in game week 23. See you later.
See ya.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.